Merkulyev described the creation of a tribal accord that he hoped might guide Congress in amending ANCSA to protect subsistence rights by restoring tribal control over lands that were handed over to native corporations. Merkulyev does not think corporate interests best serve Alaska's natives.
It's not about power. What it is about local control. All these communities throughout Alaska are facing huge challenges. They've got endless increasing costs for fuel. You've got climate change events occurring that are diminishing wildlife populations and changing vegetation. You've got increasing numbers of people coming in, sports hunters, sports fishermen.
Merkulyev said he was not opposed to sports hunting and fishing. Instead, he argued that the privatization of traditional native lands had severed the cultural patterns that had sustained the state's indigenous populations for millennia. He said the land was our basis for survival, and he thought corporate ownership put the land at risk.
It's possible that some of our corporations go bankrupt. And if they go bankrupt, of course, the debtors, if they don't go into reorganization, will attach the assets and the main asset of these corporations, besides any money they may have accrued and investments they have, is the land. So it's vulnerable there. And they can outright sell it because this land is fee simple title land. They can do with it whatever they want. And as I understand it, there have been some corporations that have actually sold parts of their land.
The risks of privatizing traditional lands, even by the native corporations established under ANCSA, have fueled the debate over the bill now in Congress that would finalize Sea Alaska Inc.'s land selections in Southeast. H.R. 1408 and its Senate counterpart, S-730, would convey about 85,000 acres of Tongass National Forest land to Sea Alaska. The legislation, which is currently drafted to allow the corporation to select timberlands and cultural sites outside of the original ANCSA boundaries, has sparked many contentious public hearings in the region. It was almost inevitable that the Sea Alaska bill would enter this conversation. The call came from Point Baker on northern Prince of Wales Island.
And so there's a big rebellion going on in southeast Alaska. Many natives are opposed to the Sea Alaska bill because in Hoonah they destroyed the whole area by logging 12 miles. Just look at Hoonah's legacy. In Sitka there's an uproar. The city council is not at all happy that Sea Alaska wants Redoubt Bay. On Prince of Wales Island, there were 9 towns that were opposed to Sea Alaska getting selections in the best remaining old-growth forest.
Merkulyev would not speak directly to the merits of the Sea Alaska bill. The type of changes he's hoping to bring about in ANCSA are not in the details. They are structural.
What we're calling for are solutions that allow local control and self-determination and the ability to access our customarily and traditionally used lands and the traditional ways of managing and accessing fish, wildlife, and habitat.
There's no consensus about the tribal accord. While many of the state's 229 tribes were at the Anchorage summit, critics complained that there was little corporate representation. In Congress, Alaska's representative Don Young considers the tribal accord a threat to ANCSA and to 40 years of success.
I have spent too much time working with Alaska Native corporations, Alaska Village corporations, to have that program destroyed. It was the finest settlement we've ever had, and it's worked.
Over the next several months, member stations of the Alaska Public Radio Network will continue to explore facets of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act on its 40th anniversary with regional perspective from around the state. With help from APRN's Lori Townsend and Libby Casey, I'm Robert Woolsey in Sitka.